the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that's there drawing you, changing. On the one side, I'm not going to read both of them, but halfway through any work, one is often tempted to go off on a tangent. I don't know about you, but if you're maybe a little ADD like me, everything I do, I promise you, from writing a message, when I'm halfway through, I'm tempted, and she'll say, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just getting something out of the fridge. She's like, you're going back to it, right? I'm like, well, yes, you know what I mean? Because you're here, huh? Oh, yes. When I can peaches, because we have a peach tree that we didn't know about, which is like tearing up our yard. And so when I'm halfway through it and I don't know what's going on in the kitchen, and I looked at her and I was like, can I just like quit whatever all this is? And she was like, no, look around. I'm like, oh gosh, this man, I gotta clean this mess up. Everything's boiling over. And anyway, but oftentimes when we're midway through, what do we wanna do? We wanna quit. It seems like it's part of human nature. And some of us, we're so driven, right, that we never quit and we always get to the finish line, and people that quit halfway drive us crazy, right? Think about the second part of this. Once you have yielded, you will be tempted to yield again and then again and then again. Let's just place that in your spiritual journey. How often is it so easy to just skip something that God is calling us to do? And you know what happens? The enemy uses that, and then all of a sudden, the next time, it's easier to yield what? Again. Think about giving in to temptation, things that we know are not only not spiritually good for us, but not good for us in general. And we yield once. And then you know what happens the next time? It gets easier to yield again. You finish this, finally, you would only produce something hybrid. And I believe that in our walk with the Lord, He's not calling us, right, to create hybrid things. He's calling us to authenticity, to intimacy, to really understanding that He's there drawing us in. So we're going to be in John, and if you would, if you have your Bibles or if they're on your phone, John chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 all the way through verse 18, and most of you, no matter your age, you're going to say, oh my goodness, I've heard this preached a million times, and we're going to take a different approach to it. We're not really going to look at some of the things that we would typically look at. So once you have that, whether you're here or at home, if you would stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Okay, like that was the first time that we stood for the reading of God's word in this space. Isn't that exciting? Yes, that's like, we got to acknowledge that. Praise God. But there still is only my wife in the front row. But anyway, starting in verse 1, now there was a man of the Pharisees named, y'all know this name, Nicodemus, come on now, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, now this is key. So he's representing a lot of people, okay? He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Key word, signs. We talked about it in Sunday school today. These signs are not just like normal things. These signs are significant. This word started in the beginning with creation, of the creating of light. And I mean, this is tremendous. Jesus is going around and not just healing. He is doing all kinds of signs. And so they know that he has come from God. There's no doubting that. Jesus answers this way. And Nicodemus kind of gets special treatment, because we're going to see Jesus here go from parables to directly saying, Caleb, Andrew. And he says, Nicodemus, I'm not going to talk to you in parables, I'm going to talk to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in response, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Now, obviously, Nicodemus, knowing the truth, knows he's just kind of throwing something out there to be a little bit, let's say, naughty. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered again, truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Now, here's how we know, and I want you to understand this. By the response of Jesus, he knows that Nicodemus knows. Nicodemus had been taught. He had been trained. He understood. And so Jesus took all of that and responded to him. Are you the teacher? Are you the teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things? Again, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. God, today, God, I just pray in this space that you would come, that you would be present, that today I would just be your vessel, transmitting your words, your heart, your will for the people. And so, God, right now, I just pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we trust you with this time. We trust you with these words. And, God, I pray that our hearts would be open. We love you. We honor you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay. So there's quite a few problems with going halfway. And I want you to just know that in your spiritual journey, there are a lot of problems with going halfway. See, when we go halfway, we only receive what? A portion or a part of what God has for us. See, many of us, even in this room today, we are only receiving a portion of what it is that God has for us. Now you say, oh, wait a minute, Pastor, this passage was about being born again. Actually, it's a part of what this passage is about. See, most of us hold on to this as this being just that. Now that's key. And I think that all of us understand that we have to be born again, that we have to receive Jesus as our personal Savior, that we have to accept him, that we have to confess our sins. That's an obvious, we know that from this scripture. But there's so much more in this scripture. And actually, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you're only accepting half of the truth. You get what was, but you're interested in what may be. And so, he continues to push him. So what are the root causes? Think about it. What are the root causes of only going halfway? Let's just say the first one, okay? I already kind of said it. Can we just say laziness? Yes, laziness, okay? So you agree, right? I think one of the root causes, okay, of only going halfway is laziness. We just get lazy and we say, you know what? I don't want more of him because if I receive more of him, then I'm going to have to go further. Now, oftentimes, it's not laziness. It's doubt. How many of you, let's just be honest, you've heard, seen, read, understood, the Spirit has just brought something to you, and you know, you just say, I can't really believe that. I can't believe that in the Word. It's too much for me. Now I could spend all morning kind of sharing. Maybe it's the physical. I just can't do anymore. Maybe it's the past. Maybe it's you have no idea where I've come from, so there's no way that God would. Maybe it's an action that you've done. Maybe it's a mindset. Maybe it's somebody in your ear. Who knows? You know. You know what it is that's causing you to go halfway. You say, what do you mean? Well, the way that Jesus closed this passage tells us, right? It kind of tells us about Nicodemus. It tells us that Jesus knew Nicodemus really intimately and really well, and knew that Nicodemus understood in his mind, not in his heart, in his mind, that there was more. He knew that Nicodemus understood that all that he had learned, all that he had then learned and then taught, was for the day to be shared. And church, I believe that many of us are at that crossroads where we know, we get it, but we don't want to step into it. And so, I think each of us have a root cause about why we only go halfway when Jesus has gone all the way. All right, so let's think about this statement. Are you ready to kind of ponder? Are you still with me? Are you good? Okay, I want you to think about this statement. What is before us is just a stumbling block. So if I put something here, like Abby's phone, right, that's just present there. Unless I step on it or I look at it and decide to do something with it, it's just there. Now, many of us, we have literal, actual stumbling blocks that are in front of us. But here's the deal. What is in us, think about this, what's inside of us gives purpose to the stumbling block. That's just basic theology. Often the temptations come from what we see, come from what we experience, come from something on the outside, and then we see that, and what we do with that, right, with that stumbling block, that's on us. We give purpose to it. We make it something. Think about it. We've been working on this area for 2 years now. Now we're beginning to do what? Give it purpose. Now, we could have just decided to say, you know, we're not going to give it purpose. My heart, since accepting the call to ministry, it broke, and I'll just be honest with you. I've grown up in churches where I watch the church on Sunday morning open up these sanctuary doors and then shut the sanctuary doors and then open them back up on a Wednesday and then shut the sanctuary doors. And then I would wonder to myself, did God intend, since we're now the sanctuary, for these buildings to be used twice a week? And then for the special event or revival? Probably not. And so I asked the Lord many, many years ago, put me at a church that would be okay with creating a space that every day the doors would be open. But you know what? We could decide one day, hey, there's no purpose here. So we're going to... See, here's the thing. What's in front of you? It's a stumbling block, but it can have no value unless you give it value. And church, unfortunately, right now, a lot of Christians are giving a lot of value to stumbling blocks, which is stunting the growth within their own hearts, let alone what it does beyond that. And so I want you to keep that in mind today as we go through this. You give purpose to the stumbling block. And you can call it whatever, temptation, boredom. You don't want it. It doesn't matter. Think about in verse 8. I'm kind of setting this up to get you kind of into this. But verse 8, and this is where we can't just say this passage is just about salvation, because it's not. It's way more. So in verse 8, we see this word, a beautiful word, a word that we see all through Scripture, and it's soma, S-O-M-A. And what is soma? It's that which is life, which is the Spirit. We all have one. And you know what? The Spirit of God has a desire to come in and fill you. And so here we see the principle of life coming out. We see that all that God wants to give us being present in these Scriptures. When you look at verse 8, it's described in this way: the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So what is Jesus saying? He said, you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. And so here I am coming in, and then he finishes by saying, with the Spirit. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Well, what does that tell us? Well, I'm pretty sure if you go out at some point today, you're going to experience the wind. And you're not even going to know, right, that it's coming. Now, in Indiana, when you stand like on the other side of a field, it comes. You know what I'm saying? And here's the thing. See, what Jesus is saying here, you need to be born again, right? But now the Spirit needs to continue to move. What's crazy is that by his closing statement, we should get that Jesus knew Nicodemus well enough to know, hey, buddy, you know this. You know this is the truth. You know that this is what I'm coming for. Not only did you know it, but you've taught it. And so it's time to receive it. And so Jesus is talking about the whole person, not just the first step of acceptance, but what comes after that, what goes beyond that. So let's talk about Nicodemus. Most of you, if you're in Sunday school, like, you already know all about him, right? If you've been to Sunday school at some point in your life, you've learned about Nicodemus, you've sung songs about Nicodemus. Interestingly enough, a lot of times we kind of close the book at the end of this, but if you really understand it, and I preached this a couple years ago, he actually didn't receive anything at this point. He just heard, and we kind of see glimpses of him throughout, which tell us that he is what? He's starting to ponder, he's starting to think, and guess who was at the tomb? Guess who was at the cross? Guess who was a part of that scene? Nicodemus. Guess who spoke up for Jesus amongst all the authorities? Nicodemus. So there wasn't an instant change in this moment. And probably, let's just be real, okay, if I looked around, most of you are going to leave today, and it's what? Not going to be instant change. But it's okay if you allow the Lord to light something within you today. Let's talk a little bit more about Nicodemus. Many of us, we have learned or thought, and this is actually kind of off, we thought that Nicodemus came to Jesus in secret or at night because he was like afraid of other people. You ever do that before? Your faith is kind of hidden, and so in certain places, nobody knows that you're a Christian, or nobody knows that, and so we've kind of associated that with Nicodemus. Not true, y'all. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He was the one that was holding, because remember, Pharisees, they weren't priests, right? There was the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. Pharisees were you. Let's just be real. Pharisees were lay people. What are lay people? They support the ministry. They support the priest. He supported the temple. He was there to make sure. So you got to remember, this dude had a what? Y'all get a paycheck? Wherever you go to work, you hope to get one, right? You probably aren't going there to volunteer. Nicodemus went to work, okay? So it would make sense when he got home to head to find who? Jesus. Hey, I want to talk to you about some things. You say, well, what? Well, the next time we see him, he's actually speaking out to the Sanhedrin, to the rulers, to the, hey, Jesus is what he says he is. So Nicodemus wasn't afraid. He wasn't shy. He wasn't backing away from. In fact, he was bold enough to say, hey, I'm here representing everybody. So he was a member of the ruling council. He was a dude that knew. He was a dude that understood. Many of us know and understand, but we don't want to take that step of really living in the Spirit. You say, Pastor, this is kind of simple. Well, it's going to get harder. So, what did he come seeking? He came seeking the truth. Out of everyone in the Sanhedrin, let's say, or in the ruling authority, he wanted to know more. He wanted to understand what everybody was talking about. He wanted to go right to the source. It's kind of beautiful. He wanted to go right to the source and seek out, what is it that you're talking about? We get that you're real. What's crazy is Nicodemus, doubting on one side, is saying, we've seen the signs. Signs that we saw creation. Signs that we saw through Moses. Signs that we see it. We get it. You know what's crazy, church? You know, often we do what? We say, well, if we could just have been like the Israelites and saw the pillar, we would just, I don't know if that's enough. They had Jesus right in front of them, and he was doing the same thing, and it wasn't enough. It's why, think about this, when he addresses Nicodemus, he goes past being born again, and he begins to be concentrated on the Spirit. And so the key is Nicodemus was seeking some truth. Are you seeking some truth? Are you wanting to know more? Are you wanting to step into the next phase of your spiritual journey? Are you like Nicodemus? Are you stuck? Are you not sure? Are you seeking clarity? And then Jesus did something that really shifted his ministry. And what's crazy is that if you talk to theologians or pastors that are much more theologically sound than I am, they would say that the truly, truly, or very truly, those statements are some of the most significant statements that Jesus speaks. In fact, our pastor friend spent, what, half the year at a church that we ministered at in Killeen, half the year he spent on just those statements, and it was powerful. You know why? Because when he said truly, truly, he said, truly, truly, Brenda. Truly, truly, Lily. He went from parables. He went from big cloudy ideas. He went from and said, I'm going to look straight at you because I know you. I'm going to look straight at you because I get you. I'm going to look straight at you because I know what you're seeking and I've got an answer. I've got a way. I've got a truth. And so instead of, because he could have, right? He could have heard all the noise like he did and shout out a parable and then pull the disciples in and say, here's what I really meant. Remember, we did that for a couple of weeks. Now we're getting to where Jesus says, Andrew, I'm going to give you some truth that you need because I know what you need. He said, Nicodemus, I'm going to give you some truth. Truth that I know you need and I need you to take back. Whew. Jesus shifted. And you know what? Jesus has a desire to shift some things in you. And he begins to shift some things. When you look at it, because properly in here you'd look at it in the Aramaic, this born from above and being born of God, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And so, I'm not past going forward, am I? Sorry, I'm not used to that, so that you'll have to bear with me. Gosh, I'm sorry. Y'all, why don't you say anything? You're sitting right there. I mean, this ain't like the other sanctuary. You know what I'm saying? I'm rolling along like, all right, Jesus, there he is. There's the key. There's very truly. And here we are. Okay, Micah, I'm sorry. I put it down. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, oh, that's, sorry. It's all new. I'm going to keep it here. If I put it out, say, smack my hand. Okay. Interestingly enough here, Jesus, he did something. Because you know what Nicodemus did? Y'all ever been smart to somebody? Like, you're not that perfect. I mean, I love you, you know what I mean? But, like, if I can admit that I was smart to her last week, you can admit that, you know what I'm saying? Because when she said, clean your mess up, I was like, I cleaned it up. And she was like, look at the, and I was like, girl. Anyway, think about this. Nicodemus got a little smart, and he said, now, you know he knows the answer, right? He's a grown man, okay? And he says to Jesus, like, the Son of Man, okay? He was a part of creation. It fascinates me. Right, if they really got it, because I don't know that I would want to say to Jesus, what are you saying, you're going to put me back in the womb? Jesus is so good, okay? You know there's something about it. I'm sorry if there's like young kids in here and you haven't had that discussion, but what happens when a baby's getting ready to come? The water breaks. This is like for real people. I'm not being gross here. Think about this for a second. Jesus knows exactly. In fact, today, someone was baptized. That's exciting. Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about, and he went back to Nicodemus and said, just as when the water breaks, a child begins to come forth to experience a new world, a new existence, from darkness to light, that water breaking, which is the washing over, the releasing, and the sending out, so does my spirit. So does my spirit wash over and send forth. Church, when the Spirit comes over you, there is no saying you're the same. You may decide to go back, but you've experienced the Spirit, which means you're in the know. I promise you, when the Spirit's come to me and washed over me and taken me from something and brought me to new, I know it like I know my wife. And I know if I step back into that, that's me. And Jesus was saying, just as a baby comes forth. Now, you know, Nicodemus, I'm not saying, but there's a heavenly birth that when you allow the washing of the Spirit, you know, we water down baptism and say it's an inward or an outward sign of an inward act, and yet we've got to get to the place like Jesus was baptized, and what happened? The Spirit of God came and began to move. And so Jesus said there's more than just being born again. There's an earthly born again, and then there's a washing of the Spirit. Of a coming forth, coming into the new. And so he begins to kind of expand and draw Nicodemus's mind bigger. And so he even goes further as you go down here when you translate testimony and said, this is where God's will is done. This is when you get washed by the, I've been listening to that song, and I'm telling you, Nicodemus, when you get washed by the Spirit, you're going to be going here, there, and everywhere. Because when the Spirit comes and the old is washed away and the new is... So you can see how, like, Nicodemus is being challenged to change his thinking. He's being challenged to go from, here's a Old Testament theology... That was good for, but now I'm telling you there's new. And then he says, as the Spirit washes over you, my will is done. Can I share with you? I get really excited because I have a desire to please my wife. I just do, and I hope that you have a desire to please your loved ones. I have a desire to please my kids. I can't always do it because that's not good training, but when I know I can, I want to. I know what's special to them. I know what like really attaches to their heart and what doesn't. And that's because I'm in tune with and understand. And so I don't want to just be a halfway husband or a halfway dad. I don't want to be a dad that just sits back and watches. I don't want to be a dad that just sits back and instructs. I want to be a dad that's right there. I want to be a dad that knows the heart. It really bothers me. This is like a total side note. When my oldest daughter tells my wife something and doesn't tell me, and then I'm not supposed to know about it. I mean, how is that right? You know what I mean? I'm better than, so why would, I mean, I'm smarter, and so why would you want to like, you know what I mean? I don't know. She's actually a lot smarter, but anyway. But think about that. Do you have someone in your life that you like, you want to go all the way for because you love them with all your heart? And it actually breaks your heart when you only give them half of what you have. I mean, do you feel that way? Are you mature enough to like have a desire for someone else that you just want to love them with all you have? See, Jesus, he has a desire to love you with all he has. And his desire and what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus is, my desire is just to let that spirit wash over you, move you, grow you, change you, so that you can see my will. And what's beautiful about this is that he's not just talking about this dictatorship. He's talking about the thoughts that he had for Nicodemus and for all those that Nicodemus was going to go talk to. I had a plan. I had a hope. My desire was that they would be a beacon to the world of hope, love, mercy, grace, affection. And so Nicodemus, he needed to be purified from his sin, and he needed to be enabled to live, right? To live in the fullness that God had desired for him. And the only way that could happen is through the Spirit. Y'all didn't say it again. You know, I like said, I guess you don't know the slides coming up, so. So, as we get close to closing, I want your minds to begin to kind of hone in on this. What's the problem? Well, Jesus did something unique. He talked about the flesh. We talk about the flesh a lot. The flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. If we look around, the flesh is doing what? The world is using the flesh to attack all of us, to get us focused on the flesh rather than. What's great here is that Jesus said, hey, the flesh is actually good. I created it for good things. But the flesh can also be corrupted. It can also spoil. It can also go into stages and phases where it's not. And so let's just be real with ourselves. Most of the stumbling blocks that we give purpose to are out and given purpose by the flesh. Can we just say, yes, it's probably the case. Think about temptations that come our way, right? And so human weakness, and Jesus recognizes it here, human weakness is what makes it so that many of the people you're going to go back to aren't going to believe. Many of the people that you're going to go see aren't going to receive, because they're going to live in the flesh, and they're going to say, I'd rather have my place than have the Spirit. I'd rather have my status than my. And so oftentimes our flesh keeps us from really living, really experiencing. So the key here is you must be born again. You must live in the Spirit if you really want to live in God's plans for you. So he gives this example at the end. It's easy. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. If you got a keyword study Bible like I do, there's a little key there. I'll try to point those out because key statement by Jesus. It's a statement that actually talks about a progression, a growth, not a waving back and forth. I'll just be honest with you. One of the most disappointing things as a pastor is that I live this, and I wish I couldn't live it this way. In fact, I sat with her a couple nights ago, and we're with Pastor Klinger retiring, and we're trying to find an executive pastor, and I'm like, I need someone who can, like, just do what needs to be done and go home, and if they said no to so-and-so because it's part of the big plan, then they can go home and rest in that, and it doesn't matter. I said, for me, I can't do that. I think about what? The person. Well, I had to say no to them, and she'll say, well, it's about money, or it's about this. It has nothing to do with the person. I said, but I don't know if they know that, and how are they going to listen to me if that's the... Why? Because I'm the messenger for here, right, of God's word, the message. And see, at the time, it was Moses. At the time, it was priest. And now, it's all of us. You say, wait a minute, you just said it's, I don't know, I wish I could just leave it at that, right? Because then it wouldn't put you in a driver's seat. But Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, the layperson. He was talking to you, and he's talking to me. If you'll live by the Spirit, if you'll live by the Spirit, then you will lift others up as well. See, we'd love to say that Jesus had that three times. He said, truly, 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 truly to the priest, to the pastor. I struggle with it because I want you all to get to heaven because it's a process. And oftentimes you wave back and forth, and then I worry, right, that you're waving back and forth, and sometimes I know you are. I can just look and see it, and I just know because the Spirit's saying, that person's not right. And then almost every time it's confirmed somehow that they've stepped away or stepped back into or got back into a... But see, Jesus was not lifted up so that we could be partially or halfway or semi-lifted up. He was lifted up so that you could live a full life with the Spirit fully embracing you, not just halfway embracing you. So I'm going to ask the praise team if they would kind of gather up. And instead of looking at them, I want you to look into your heart. I want you to think about this. Jesus did not go halfway. Right? He was actually saying to Nicodemus, once again, I know you know all this. I know you get it. But I'm telling you, I'm not going halfway. I'm going to go all the way so that you too can go all the way. So, why are we okay with just going halfway? Why are we okay with seeing the stumbling block and giving it purpose? Why was Nicodemus okay that day to take all that information, all that truth, and then still go live a semi-committed life to the new order? And so, I think today I just want you to think, what is it? What is it that's keeping you from going all the way? Because church, I'll just promise you this, and I know this well. Things wouldn't be the way they are if we were going all the way. Even just a small amount of people, there's only like 12% of the nation that goes to church on a Sunday morning. It's worse than it's ever been. It used to be 20% a couple years ago after COVID. It's now 12%. That's small, y'all. But you know what? 12% of the nation fully committed, going all the way with Christ, is all he needs. It's all he needs. And you're a part of that. Nicodemus was a part of it. And I preached a couple years ago. He gave us some glimpses. He stood up against the rulers. You may have to sometimes stand for truth. You may have to sometimes partner with someone you normally wouldn't. You may have to reach out and help someone that you may not normally. You may have to, when you're at school, work, admit that you're a Christian. You may have to say no to the bullying. You may have to say no to a habit. You may have to say no to a temptation, a mindset, a heart condition, a past situation, or maybe it's the physical getting in your way. Well, I have this going on in my body, so I can't. Maybe realign with Jesus, and maybe you can, but maybe it's not what you used to. And so, church, you're the one giving purpose to the stumbling block, not Jesus. And let me tell you this, not even the enemy. He's just throwing them at you. And when you're at your lowest, you know what he does? He throws as many as he can. So that somehow you'll get over one of them and it becomes a wall. So, why not today unpurpose the stumbling blocks? Maybe just say no. We say, how does this go with Nicodemus? Well, he was letting his knowledge, his place, the people around him, keep him from fully embracing. Because the problem is we don't end with Nicodemus was tremendously transformed and he went away a different person. You know what's heartbreaking about that? The very Savior of the world stood right before him and loved him so much that he said, I can't talk to Nicodemus in parables. This isn't the time for that. He said, truly, truly, Nicodemus, I want you to get this, buddy. And then he loved him so much that Nicodemus came back at him and he said, truly, truly, Caleb. And then a third time, I mean, think, he didn't actually do truly, truly that many times. What's it, seven times? Three of them, guess who got it? A man he intimately loved. And guess who needs to get it today? Each and every one of you. All of you. Because he knows you just as well as he knew and knows Nicodemus. But evidenced by the furtherment of his life, I believe one day you're going to get to meet him. And so what is it before you? Is it knowledge? Is it place? Is it temptation? Is it stuff? What are you giving purpose to? It's keeping you from going all the way. Because Jesus stood before Nicodemus and said, if you'll just come all the way, you could be a part of this movement. And then when I talk in a parable, you can come in the house and hear the real deal. And Nicodemus went back. I don't believe that Jesus wants you to go back today just like you were when you came.
Father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have been. of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good.
God, we come before you, and God, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you today that you don't stop halfway. You don't stop when we're part of the way there, or right in the middle of it. You go all the way. And Jesus, you went all the way. And as Scripture tells us, you're waiting to finish. So God, let us step over that. Maybe today, let our story not be like Nicodemus' story, which was a gradual stepping. Maybe today you're asking for radical change. Maybe today, God, you're saying to us, it's time to just hurdle it and go. Let it go and go. Let it go and move. And so, speak to us. Send your Spirit to just minister right now, to show how it's possible, to speak to the way in which we can disable those things in front of us so we can go all the way. God, help those today that are not well. There are some that are watching from home today that would love to be here, but there's just things happening in their body that they can't. And so we pray for them today, Lord. We think of families like the Williams family. God, be with them today. Think about the Brewers. Be with them today. We think about all that has to happen in the lower area here to continue to do ministry, and in the next couple of weeks, there's still so many hurdles to get through. God, help us to get through those hurdles. And God, I pray that as we continue this, you would just draw people unto you. Yes, we call it an ADA play area, a shower room, clothing closet, things like that. But it's more than that. That's an avenue to open up a whole new world in people's lives. Just like you opened up something new in Nicodemus. And so we trust you, we love you, we praise you. Send us out encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. I'd encourage you, don't go out and let the enemy rob from you. Go out and say, no, as the song says, no, not today. I would just like to invite you, the kids are going to be coming soon. You're welcome to hang out. The play area is able to be used, and so you're welcome to let your kids play just for now. They can't go past the bottom, like, into the lower area. It's like construction, but they're welcome to play in there right now if they'd like while you talk, but you're the one to get them out when they're not ready to go, okay? All right. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Thank you for joining us. You guys doing okay?
Yeah,
good. Everything going good? Yeah.